The next morning, Thursday, the sky was still a sullen gray, and the heat was still suffocating the town. When Megan Logan awoke and remembered the events of the night before, her eyes flew to the mirror. Except for her own sleepy-eyed reflection, it was empty. Megan felt like she'd slept in a sauna. Her head ached, her skin felt sticky, and her hair was matted to her head. She thought immediately of her friends. Were they okay? She hoped her parents had heard something. After a shower, she got ready for school. As she pulled on white shorts and a pale yellow top, her eyes returned repeatedly to the big mirror. Although there was nothing there now, something that didn't belong had entered the room uninvited. It was gone now, but the sense of it remained.
I must have dreamed the whole thing because I was so upset about the accident. But it was all so real. I can remember every second of it. Clearly.
Slipping her feet into a pair of sandals, she pulled her thick mass of curls into a ponytail and fastened it with a yellow clip. The shower had done nothing to ease the headache. The pounding behind her eyes was relentless. When she left the room, her blue denim bag hanging from her shoulder, she couldn't resist glancing one more time into the wooden framed glass. There was nothing in it but the reflection of herself. As she closed the bedroom door behind her, Megan hoped that when she came home later that day, her room would feel like her own again. Downstairs, over breakfast, Megan questioned her mother about her friends. Mrs. Logan had found out only that they were all still alive. Megan learned nothing new until lunch period, when she met Justin and Hillary on the back lawn of Philippa Moore that sloped down to the lake.
I talked to Mrs. Wynn this morning. Barb's okay. She was thrown clear and landed on grass. She's going home today. Kathy has a broken wrist and a lot of bruises, but Jenny wasn't so lucky. She has a really awful head injury, and her collarbone was shattered. Mrs. Wynn was crying the whole time we were talking. Meg, you all right? You look awfully pale.
I'm fine, really. It's just a headache. I woke up with it this morning and it won't go away.
I'm not surprised. Here, eat something. Might make you feel better.
Yeah, you're right. I will.
The news about Jenny wasn't the only thing on Megan's mind. There was the awful dream of Juliet. And worse than that, the feeling that she was being watched. She had felt eyes on her all morning, following her every move. She had to keep fighting the urge to keep glancing over her shoulder. It was spooky. Now, almost the entire student body of Philippa Moore was sprawled around them across the embankment lawn, studying or talking softly while they ate.
I don't get it. Jenny's a good driver. And it wasn't raining yesterday, no slippery roads. Anybody hear how it happened?
Mrs. Wynn told me that when they hit that curve, Jenny steered around it just like she always did. But nothing happened. Barbie told her mother the car just wouldn't turn. It went straight into that utility pole like it had a mind of its own.
Sounds like the steering went.
Yeah, maybe. Mrs. Wynn said the sheriff is checking out the car.
Jenny could be out of commission for a long time. She's going to go stir crazy in that hospital.
Well, as soon as she can have visitors, we'll just have to see that she doesn't get lonely.
If anybody can cheer her up, Meg, you can. You're good at that.
Well, I think it all stinks. School's almost over and Jenny won't get to finish out the year. Oh, let's not talk about this anymore. It's too depressing. Hey, guess who asked me out this morning?
Now, who do we know without a single shred of taste?
Oh, very funny, Justin. Donnie Richardson. He asked me to a movie. Isn't that a hoot?
Donnie? He's too short for you. And he's definitely not your type.
Oh, tell me about it.
What did you tell him?
I said, not in this lifetime. The guy has a personality of a hangnail.
Hill, did you have to be so cruel? You could have been a little bit nicer.
If you're polite with guys like Donnie, they never give up.
Well, I think you could have been more tactful. Although we know that tact isn't among your limited virtues, Bench. Donnie's not a bad guy, and the girls in the school treat him like dirt. I was with Jenny a couple of weeks ago when Donnie asked her to a movie. She was more polite than you, Hill, but he stomped up down the hall like he was squashing bugs. He was not happy.
He asked Jenny out? Jenny Wynn?
Yeah.
I think he asked Cappy out, too. I saw them arguing in the hall last week. I thought it was pretty funny. Now I'm not so sure.
I feel sorry for Donnie. Nobody likes him. And I think his home life stinks.
His parents are divorced, and he moves back and forth between two different homes. That can't be much fun.
My parents are divorced, too, but I'm not a dweeb like Donnie.
I'm sure you are. You're just prettier than Donnie.
Oh, yeah.
It must be awful to be so unpopular.
Oh, Megan, you're always feeling sorry for people. You just don't get it that there's some really crummy people out there who don't have good excuses for the rotten way they act. Get with the program, will you?
That's what makes you so lovable. That's part of Meg's charm.
Thanks, Justin.
Oh, you guys, you made me sick.
Before they went back into school, Megan turned to look back at the group still on the lawn. No one seemed to be paying any particular attention to her. So why did she have this feeling that she was a specimen under a microscope? It gave her goosebumps. Later that afternoon, on her way to art class, Megan passed Donnie Richardson in the hall. She found herself smiling at him with more warmth than usual. He looked surprised. Megan had a feeling that even if he had returned her smile, it wouldn't have reached his eyes. They seemed so cold and empty. When she reached the art room, she went straight to her assigned cubbyhole at the rear of the room. There was a square of red construction paper sticking halfway out next to her box of pastels. Megan frowned. She hadn't used red construction paper lately. Curious, she slid the paper out of the cubbyhole and looked at it. What she saw was a crude, childish drawing of a large yellow convertible. Seated in the driver's seat of the crudely drawn car was a horse. On the passenger side of the front seat sat what looked like a large candy bar, beside a fat, yellow and black striped blob with wings. A bumblebee. What on earth? Her eyes moved to the back seat. A hat of some kind was drawn there, with a visor. A baseball cap? There was a small green ball beside it. A green baseball? No. It looked more like an oversized green pea. As people began to file into the big art room, Megan studied the picture carefully. It was a simple puzzle. The car was clearly Jenny's. The candy bar and the bumblebee were easy. Bar, B, Barbie. And the cap and the pea meant Cappy. But why was there a horse in the driver's seat? What kind of twisted mind would draw such a sick picture about a tragic accident? And why was it in Megan's cubbyhole? Was it a joke? If it was, someone at Philippa had a very bizarre sense of humor. Shivering, Megan stuffed the drawing into her notebook and took her place for the class. When she got home that afternoon, Megan approached her bedroom door with hesitation. It had been almost a whole day since the dream. Would the room still feel strange? Slowly, Megan pulled the door open and stood in the hallway, listening, searching all four corners with her eyes. There was nothing out of the ordinary. Megan stepped inside and closed the door. At last, she let herself glance into the full-length mirror. It was empty. Of course it is, she told herself. She had just turned around when the curtains began blowing wildly, and she was hit by a blast of frigid air. Her room darkened and became shrouded in shadow. Juliet had returned.
Megan Logan?
Oh, no! I wasn't dreaming after all.
Megan sank down on the bed, drawing the comforter around her against the chill.
What are you doing here?
I came to talk. Will you listen, Megan Logan? Please?
Why are you here? You don't belong here.
Why can't you accept me? I'm not going to hurt you.
Leave me alone. You're scaring me.
Well, I'm not trying to scare you. I thought you'd talk to me because you have an open mind. I know everything about you. When I found out that we shared a birthday, I studied you carefully.
You? You've been watching me?
I can't talk to just anyone. Has to be someone exactly my age. Someone near the lake where I died. Someone with an open mind and a kind heart. Someone with imagination and a belief that anything's possible. Someone just like you, Megan Logan. But I made myself wait to talk to you so you'd have time to settle into this house. I was scared that if I showed up too soon, I'd frighten you off. This was your grandmother's house. Martha's house. She left it to your mother when she died a while ago.
Megan felt a chill ripple down her spine. How could Juliet know so much about her? All Megan knew about the thing in her mirror was that it had lived and died. and it was lonely.
Oh, it's been hard not to give up hope. All this time.
Hope? Of what?
Of having someone to talk with. Of reaching someone. Of trading.
Trading? Trading what?
Nothing. Never mind. Let's talk about your party.
But this can't be happening. How did you get here?
It was easy. I had to be here. You're my only chance.
But it's not possible.
Anything is possible, Megan. You believe that, don't you? Isn't that what your grandmother Martha always said?
Megan's mouth dropped open in amazement. It was. Graham had said, "Believe in everything, Megan, until you learn otherwise. Anything is possible in this world. You remember that." Slowly, Megan's fear began to melt away, to be replaced by complete bewilderment.
Did you know my grandmother? Before your accident, I mean.
I didn't know her very well. I wasn't here on the lake that long. I think she was like you. Quiet, dreamy. Oh, I envy you, Megan. You'll have the wonderful party I never had. You'll get to live those years full of fun. Parties, dances, boyfriends. I missed all of that.
Tears pooled in Megan's eyes. Jenny and Barb and Cappy had all nearly lost their lives, too, like Juliet. What would that be like, to have your life end so young? The thought made her pull the comforter more closely around her.
Are you cold, Megan?
No. Just feeling sad. It isn't fair that your life ended so early.
I knew you'd understand. I think it was unfair, too. That's why I can't be at peace. If only... Oh, no, never mind. Oh, you're not ready. It's too soon.
If only what?
Well, I really think you need more time. But since I don't have much, I'll go ahead and explain. My life ended too soon, Megan. That's not ever supposed to happen. But I have a chance to make up for that now. If I can find someone who shares a birthday with me, and if that person can hear me, I can ask her to switch places with me for just one short week. I can ask for her willing consent to let me live her life for 7 days and 7 nights. That's what I want to ask of you.
Trade places? What are you talking about?
It's really easy, Megan, and it would only be for a week. A week when I'd have the chance to live the most fun time in a girl's life. Compared to a lifetime, a week really isn't much. But it would be enough for me. At the end of the week, I'd go away. I'd be at peace then forever. Megan, I scared you. I'm sorry. I knew I shouldn't have told you so soon, but I don't have very much time. Just think about it, please. I'll come back again later. And thank you for listening to me.
The light in the mirror faded and vanished. Megan was alone. For a long time, she sat still on the bed, staring at the wooden framed glass.